Hi, it's Beth here. Okay, it's episode 130, August 2nd, 2020. And I just gotta talk about something that is really kind of hard to explain, but it really left a lasting impression on me. It's hard to imagine this could be true, but the things I learned from cruising. There's not the big cruise ships, because you can't learn anything on those. That's like a bus. I mean, that's like 12 buses, 112 buses all crammed together. Like smaller ships. It's kind of like the coronavirus. I feel like that. Okay, so it's like a small ship, and you can't get away. It's the people you arrived with, and in some cases, you didn't choose them. And the worst, most important thing is that they didn't choose you. You're just stuck on a cruise ship with them. And you're going places and you don't exactly know where you're going. Or you think you do, but you don't know if the sea's going to be fine. You don't know anything. You're just like a baby. So a few simple things I learned, which is that men who have cranky wives love cruises because their wife can complain all day long and he says, talk to the cruise director. That's the price of the ticket for him, not his problem. He had nothing to do with anything. So those are happy men. The dining room is kind of like high school all over again. And I'm usually pretty good about this, but on one cruise, Kit and I got bumped up to the cool table. I mean, I didn't see it coming. It was a table like with 16 people. And there were all these Californians, and they came on a trip together, and there were two extra seats, and they invited us. And every night before dinner, I thought we weren't going to be invited back. It was so stressful. I mean, that's the only thing about cruising that is really stressful. It's the dining rooms, and they don't have enough tables with just two seats. So that is what I don't like. And I like the ones with the little extra restaurants you can go to, but God, walking into a dining room, even at breakfast, it's too early in the morning to go, hi, can I join you? Or whatever. So I do hate that. And, I was bad at high school and I'm still bad at high school. So then there are all these people that ask when the midnight buffet is. And that just goes on and on. That is kind of spooky. But on this one particular cruise, and it was on the, okay, it was on an ocean, not a sea. Okay, so it was the sea, the Baltic Sea, the Baltic Sea. That's where it was. Okay, there was a particularly interesting crowd, and so I thought I would do an in-depth study because it was kind of deep water, and I was going through the last vestiges of hot flashes with menopause. I was really feeling low, and there were all these happy couples. So I thought I would do the study by myself and talk to all these happy couples. It was like going from one happy couple to the other, and they were like engaged in conversation. And it was really funny because they were all unmarried, and they all just met up for cruises. One lived on one coast, one lived on the other. And so, it is true that happy couples are people who don't know each other very well. So that was kind of upsetting. And then there was this guy named Corky, and Corky was always there. He was outstanding in his field of men. He was the happiest, most engaging, nicest guy that ever lived. No matter what went wrong, Corky was happy. He laughed, he smiled at people, he winked at everybody, he let you get in front of him on the buffet line, he let you into the restaurant before he walked in, he'd grab your package if it fell down. Just the happiest guy in the world. Everything was with a smile. And there was no explanation for it. I mean, his wife was nice, but she wasn't all over him. And I did, through eavesdropping, figure out that they'd been married for many years. They had two grown children. But he was scary nice. So I wanted to ask how this could be. But he was so scary that I was frightened. So I went to the next happiest couple on the ship. And I caught the wife. I mean, I saw her, okay? And she was having a cup of tea. So I just walked by. She said, sit. So I sat down. And she goes, hey, can you talk for a little while? My husband is doing mortal bingo. He's going to win. He bought like 20 of those cards. So he'll be gone forever. So, hey, tell me where you're from. I said, Austin. She goes, really? Texas? I said, yeah. I asked her where she was from. She said, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Do you know anybody there? I'm like, no. I don't know anybody in Scranton, Pennsylvania. She goes, good. I want to talk to you. So I'm like, okay. So she starts talking. And she says, listen, I want to tell you my story. I got to talk to somebody. I'm like, okay. I need a friend on the ship. I'm like, oh my God. I can't be a friend on the ship. She just said, listen. So I said, okay. So she tells me they've been married she's spent 46 years in the trenches. That's how you talk if you're from Scranton, Pennsylvania. And she said the first 12 years were rough. The next 30 were great. Kids, activities, fun. The guy's a great dad. Kids leave home. He becomes clinically depressed. And she said, curmudgeon-y, irritable, rotten. I said, you know, do you want me to get you some more tea? And she's like, sit, just listen. I'm like, okay. So she said, clinically depressed. I said, like a clinic? And she said, clinically depressed. Just sit down. So I'm like, okay. So I sat back down and she said, listen, his name was Bob. I'm like, okay, I'll remember that. She goes, yeah, mother didn't love him. Same story as everything. I'm like, okay. You want to go? She's like, no. I'm like, I know this is going to get personal. I'm like, okay. So she says, listen, I haven't gotten to what I want to tell you. I'm like, how's Scranton? Isn't it beautiful? She goes, this is my problem. That guy, Bob. Yeah, Bob. Yeah, your husband, Bob. Yeah, I'm listening. I don't look like I'm listening, but I'm listening. That Bible-thumping mouth breather became such a pain in my ass that I got depressed. And he said I should go to therapy. I was ready to kill him. I'm like, how do you spell Scranton? She goes, this is what happened. I said, you know what? I'm going to play his game. I'm gonna get him back. I said, you know, Austin is the music capital of America. She says, I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, I need to tell somebody because I need help on the ship. I'm like, yeah, you said that before. So she says, in case he goes in shock or gets sick or something, and I get sick too, I need somebody to know this. I'm like, I don't want to know this. She said, somebody needs to know this. It's not dangerous. You won't get in trouble. I said, okay. She said, I went to the psychiatrist. First, I went to a psychologist. They sent me to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, yeah, you're depressed. I'm going to put you on some anti-depression medication. She said, it's Bob. It's Bob. The woman said, this will help. This will help everything. She said, okay, give me the pills. Just give me the pills. She brought the pills home. She crushed them up and she gives them to Bob every day. I still wake up in the middle of the night knowing this information 8 years later. She said, in case something happens on this ship, I need someone to tell them that Bob is on Halcyon. Just, he doesn't look like he is, but he is. I said, listen, why don't you get him one of those bracelets? She said, what am I going to write on the bracelet? He'll figure it out. I said, no. Does he speak Spanish? She said, no. I said, well, put it in Spanish. I can't handle this pressure. She said, you have to. Everywhere I go, I tell one person the story, just in case we both fall down. I'm afraid it'll compete with his medication for his heart. I'm like, it probably will. She said, but we've had 8,000 fantastic years. Doesn't that mean anything? And I'm like, I don't know. Ask Bob. So this is why when you're in a cruise ship, you never sit down. Don't sit at those little benches that they place everywhere, because if you do, somebody like this woman is going to get you, Bob's wife. There's always a Bob's wife, and they're just looking for mullets like me. So just if you want to sit down, go back to your room. Just don't be available. That's my tip. So, and then Corky walks by and he's so happy. He's not like Bob at all, just Mr. Happiness. And he's always talking and laughing. And I don't understand it. And his wife isn't the most fun person. She doesn't think he's great. And okay, he's from California, but he's not from, there are these people on the cruise ship, from Santa Barbara, horse country. I mean, if you say that, people go, oh, like that. It's just beautiful. He's not from Santa Barbara, horse country. Oh, he's from Fresno. None of any of this quirkiness can make me understand why Corky is Corky. I'm up at night. I keep saying, Kit, what is up with Corky? What is up with Corky? Kit is like, I have no idea. So then I'm doing some more eavesdropping. His wife is in the music business and she deals with Bon Jovi, but she doesn't make any money, but she's always on the phone making deals that aren't making money. And Corky just reads this little book and he's so happy and everything's fine. Nothing bothers this man. I just can't stop looking at him. In the last 3 days of the trip, I've got like binoculars on him, like I'm a bird watcher. There isn't one moment when Corky isn't happy. His breakfast food, the guy screws up his omelet. Corky doesn't care. He misses the bus because his wife had to find something. Corky doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything. He's happy. So finally, the trip's over. And I'm too scared of Corky to talk to him. Or his wife. And I want to know, how could anyone be this happy in this world? Even on vacation, things go wrong. There's a moment where you just aren't delirious. So there we are in Stockholm. It's a Russian architecture hotel. Okay, lots of complaints. People don't like it. Corky's fine. All our flights are canceled. Corky's fine. Corky's wife comes up to him and she goes, I really have a big meeting with Bon Jovi tomorrow afternoon. We need to leave. He said, we can't. There's no flights. She said, I can get us on another flight first class. It'll cost $15,000. He says, no. First time I heard him say no. My binoculars, I'm magnifying this. No. No, we can't afford it. We just can't afford it. She walks away. She buys the tickets. She comes back. I'm like, whoa, here it is. The end of Corky. He smiles and he goes, okay, fine. They're walking away. My superpower kicks in. I have got to know superpower kicks in. I've got to know about Corky. I can't live like this. I stop them. She says, bye, it was fun. In a stewardess voice, I'm like, no, wait, please. Please, I'll never make it through the rest of my life. What is up with Corky? She's like, Corky? I'm like, yeah. Like, what is up with your husband? What is this that makes him so nice? What is going on? What do you feed this man? She goes, Corky? I'm like, yeah, Corky, that guy over there who's singing a happy tune. What is up with that guy? She goes, well, Corky's been this happy. He's been just like this since the day his mother died. I'm like, oh my God. She said, yeah, she was really hard on him. He just smiles. He wakes up smiling. He goes to sleep smiling since his mother died. I'm like, whoa, that never occurred to me. So this is what I learned from cruising. This is what I learned from Corky. Nothing is what it seems. She found a guy named Corky whose mother was driving him out of his mind. It had nothing to do with what she was wearing, nothing to do with how nice she was, nothing to do with her music career. That was the best lesson I ever learned. Corky's mother did it. You didn't do it. Corky's mother did it. She made the happiness. She made the sadness. There's no lipstick color or stiletto heel that will fix a situation like that. So, he was 65 and he was happy and she was happy. No antidepressant medication, no nothing. Corky's mother just had to die. It's the most beautiful story I ever heard because it's not my fault. Whatever's wrong, it's not my fault. I can't make up for anything like Corky's mother. Nobody can. Nobody can. So, it's a convoluted moral, but it's a moral. We're fine. We didn't do it. We didn't do any of it. We're clean. We're pure. So, let's just have that. Let's put that in our pipe and smoke it. Where Corky just needed his mother to die to be happy. Everybody just needs something like that. So, it's crazy. I'm not doing well. But to me, this was a magic moment. I'm not trying so hard. I can't fix anything. So, just remain sane. Don't work at it. Don't fight. Don't try to fix anything. Can't fix anything. Just remember the saga of Corky. It's that simple. So, take care. Take care of yourselves, and I'll be back. Bye-bye.